Welcome to the Rob and Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
South Carolina is giving up 6.5 points. I'm taking Virginia because South Carolina is a garbage football program. Your turn.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
If the Gamecocks play their worst game of the year and Virginia plays their best game of the year, I think the Gamecocks win by 7.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Okay, that's what I think. So if they play a decent game and Virginia plays a decent game, the Gamecocks win by like 21. Take the Gamecocks, double digits over Virginia. We're going to put on a show.
This thing we had was not just bad. It was a shit show.
A show.
Not to be crass, but this sucked ass. This was a shit show.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast.
Welcome into another edition of the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders. I represent the Clemson Tigers, the team that's playing for a national championship. But in the interest of fairness, I have a co-host. He supports a much more lackluster brand of football. That would be Mr. 7-6 himself, the comrade Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It is good to be here. And what's really great about today, and I'm being dead serious now, is all the new fans we have on Robin Comrade Show page and all the
Hold on. Listen to this. This is great. Listen.
South Carolina is giving up 6.5 points. I'm taking Virginia because South Carolina is a garbage football program. Your turn, Comrade Mike Dobreski.
If the Gamecocks play their worst game of the year and Virginia plays their best game of the year, I think the Gamecocks win by 7.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Mm-hmm. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
It's very rare I'm wrong. We have a big audience now.
And the Gamecocks win by like 21.
All these taters are back out there. Now, I do want to ask you a question about being wrong.
Hold on, will you be quiet?
Real quick.
You said you're going to put on a
real
show.
Quick. I want to ask one question.
It was
now.
A
if
shit show.
If you were the Clemson AD, would Clemson have this much
just
success?
But that game sucked ass. It was a shit show.
The Robin Comrade Podcast.
Tonight's show is just going to be me laughing at the comrade over and over and over again. Oh, wow. It's so
funny.
I'll
get you triggered. Don't worry. You'll take your headphones off by half hour from now.
No, you're not going to get me
triggered.
You'll
take your headphones out.
My whole thing is I get to laugh at you. Over and over and over again. By the way, yep. The Gamecocks season wrapped up. One of the hosts on this show picked every game correctly for South Carolina. One of us didn't. You want to enlighten people on who that was, Mike?
That's good. So yeah. Three seasons, you got one correct.
Actually, I missed last season, but the season before, I missed by one game. But this year, I got every game correct.
Last year, you were making 4-8 jokes. Remember that?
Make 4-8 jokes, but I
You're
came out with
about
6-6.
And then you go, well, I was just joking.
I had you going 6-6, Mike.
Okay. So,
how'd you go on 6-6?
Just keep that in mind. No. But I know.
How'd I do this year, Mike?
This year, got it, yeah.
How'd I do this year, Mike?
Because if I would have told you. If I would have told
how,
you,
how'd I do
when,
this
when
year,
you
Mike?
Retired,
how'd
if I would have told
year,
you, don't get mad now.
I'm not
if
mad.
If I would have told you that Muschamp would have the most wins of any Gamecock coach over 3 seasons, you would say I was stupid. Correct?
This sucks ass. This was a shit show. Yeah, that's what it was. Oh my goodness, that's exactly what it was. Now, being that I am a nice guy, I am going to give you the option tonight, okay? We can talk about your Gamecocks first, or we can talk about Clemson first. I'll let you have the option of that because
we'll talk about the Gamecocks first.
You want to do the Gamecocks first? Why don't we do the sponsors first real quick, and then we'll do that. We'll start with Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart. Go by and check them out. Right behind the Sonic on Highway 1, the best beer, the best wings in Columbia are at Callaway's. It's just friendly there. They were some heartbroken folks there yesterday as they were upset. They were sitting there. They were completely upset. Unlike a lot of Gamecock fans, like the comrade, they were really mad at Callaway's.
Real quick, though. Let me interrupt right now. We got a Jamie Spires here real quick. So Jamie Spires just said that I predicted we won the national championship this year. Is that true?
Did I predict we won all this year? I'm not trying to throw shade, but I don't remember if you picked us to win the national title.
No,
I think you picked us to win 12 games.
In the bowl pick'em,
you picked Alabama.
He said I picked the Gamecocks for the national championship this year. That's what he said.
No, I don't. I mean, you're stupid, but you're not that stupid. Anyway, Can I finish with the sponsors?
I know Jamie's upset.
Why do you think Jamie's upset?
Listen, I love having the ladies in here like Jamie and like Lisa Harkins in here. And, you know, you got Tabitha in here. I'm very proud of the fact we have a strong female fan base to the show. You know, but I'm going to call out one of them, like Jamie, when she says things that I said I didn't say. So let's make
clear. Well, make sure you go to Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. Also, go to adamsappleeatables.com. They have the best apple butter. It's like getting it out of like an apple pie. It is just so good. adamsappleeatables.com. And you got to go and check out Wolverine Studios. Mike, I don't have my script up in front of me, but basically what Wolverine Studios is the perfect simulation game. If you want to take a college team and simulate them out, you can do that with Wolverine Studios. You can do it in pro football. You can do it in pro basketball. You can even do it with pro golf. It's great. Make your own decisions. Become the GM by going to Wolverine Studios. And right now, go to WolverineStudios.com, download a demo. You're going to love it so much, you're going to want to buy it. Once you buy it, you can use the promo code COMRADE and get 15% off. So there you go. That's great as well.
It's real realistic. I mean, I actually emailed Gary the other day and said,
Gary being Gary Gorski, by the way.
Gary, the guy who developed the game, Gary Gorski, and I said, could you put a script in there where a player or two fails a drug test for Osterine? And you kind of laughed me back. But yeah, there are guys, great. You can have guys suspended on there. You can actually pay players, try to recruit illegally, and if you might get caught by the NCAA. So it's kind of like a virtual reality kind of college football program.
Yeah.
Same thing with the NFL, NBA. Missing one.
Wolverine Studios, you know, is
PGA
great.
Tour.
Yeah,
you can start a PGA Tour career with a guy. So it's really cool. Check it out, WolverineStudios.com. Great games, and Gary is a really good guy who developed all these games too. He's a genius.
Yeah, he put together some great stuff. And finally, DNC Trucking and Transport, Comrade Readaway, sir.
Hold on, let me get my other page up. I had actually some rights from this part too here. All right. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Monday is a special day. 8 years ago, the namesake for DNC Trucking and Transport, Cooper and Dalen, joined us. Happy birthday to these young Tigers. Dennis and Betty are doing some good parenting and raising them to support champions. Gamecocks are not champions, and some fans are upset. Here are some tweets to show the anger of Gamecock fans. Anyone who supports Muschamp is both an idiot and an enemy of the true fans of SC. He has brought nothing but lies and false promises. He's as stupid as Garcia. As you can see, it sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of DNC Trucking and Transport. Thanks so much to Dennis Wilson, and happy birthday to Dennis's young men. Tomorrow he has a couple of twin boys, and they are they are just great. Cooper and Dalen, right? Right, Mike?
That's correct, Cooper and Dalen. They were born 8 years ago tomorrow. And 8 years ago...
On New Year's Eve.
I knew a guy, a podcast partner here, who wanted Dabo Swinney fired.
We've already talked about that.
We haven't talked about this at all today.
Yeah, we have.
We have not talked about this show.
We have.
We have not talked about this
Mike,
show at all.
We have.
But it is true.
But hold on, Mike. That's not present tense.
Eight years ago today.
Holy shit.
Rob said, fire Dabo Swinney. He's done.
Yep, I did.
It was time for him to go, and so I'm just kind of bringing it up right now. So I don't know what that has to do with the show here.
It's
8 years ago. It happens to work out. Their birthday.
Here we go. By the way, I have more fan tweets from Gamecocks. Here's a great one. Our fan base has bought the Kool-Aid.
This is not the same guy.
I've got other guys. Our fan base has bought the Kool-Aid. There is zero reason why a talent differential from three years ago has anything to do with getting blown off the field by a mediocre ACC team.
It's the same guy.
Muschamp is a failure.
The guy
as is this joke of an AD who fired him. Period. Oh, that's great.
And I'll tell that guy, too, he'll look like an idiot in a few years, like you do now.
I don't look like an idiot.
Right now, that comment you made 8 years ago.
Here we go. How about I read something from a journalist? How about from a journalist? You want to go with that? Would you consider Rick Henry from WIS a journalist?
That's fine, yes.
Okay. Rick Henry said he just finished post-game with the Gamecocks after their 28-0 Belk Bowl loss to UVA. Comments by the players include, team didn't have the right mindset. They seemed down. This is a little puzzling. At Darren Lynch says, can we please fire Muschamp? There is a culture problem. Huh, that's not the same guy. Let's see here. What else do we got? Ben Parsons at Ben Parsons 7 says, an absolutely pitiful way to end the season for the Gamecocks. South Carolina has a month to prepare for UVA, and they couldn't even muster one score. As much as we tend to put the blame on players, this is on the coaches.
Let me address a few things. First of all, let me get to the game.
These are fans. Gamecock fans aren't important. What? I'm reading the Gamecock fan base here.
Okay, that's fine. Let me read this. And they're all looking like idiots, like you looked 8 years ago. I mean, it's the same thing.
No, you should be counseling them.
You should tell them, listen,
I'm not counseling shit.
I bet where you are right now. Just calm down. Don't post anything like that because it can look foolish down the line. I mean, you should be the one counseling them.
Let's see
here.
What else do we got as an example.
When Gamecock fans say something, I use you. I go, listen, I know a guy, Rob.
At Bill Brennan says, you are awful Gamecocks.
You should try to counsel them. That's a good one, too.
I'm not counseling.
Look,
and I want to address this, by the way. You're trying to compare the situation that Dabo Swinney had to Will Muschamp, but the very next minute, the thing that comes out of your mouth is, well, Will Muschamp took over a 3-9 team, but then all of a sudden, you want to compare everything else to Dabo Swinney. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Either A, he took over a shit show, or B, he didn't. Which one do you want to go with? Stay in your lane now, and remember, you can only go for one or the other.
How does that make a difference?
You can't use both, Mike, because you can't compare him to Dabo Swinney, because Dabo Swinney had completely different circumstances. Completely different.
But the bottom line is you want a Dabo Swinney fired, correct?
I did. And the reason why, and I'm going to tell you why, is because it's the same reason why you should want Muschamp fired, because at that point, Dabo Swinney had not done what I thought needed to be done to be a successful football coach at Clemson. Now, I expect more from my team than going 7-6 and 7-6 and all that and thinking that's great. Now, if you're cool with that, sign Muschamp up forever.
Okay.
So now, are you Dabo, cool with 7-6? Whoa.
After he lost that game, because you made this post after we beat your ass down in 2010,
right?
You were 6-6,
and I was upset, and I had a lot to drink. I was very upset.
You're saying that you are right to feel that way, and that Clemson should have fired him, correct?
I think at that juncture, I wanted him fired. Yeah, I did. I stand behind what I post.
And you think that Clemson, you were right, and Clemson was wrong.
I think I was wrong, but I think you're not listening to what I'm saying to you.
So my whole
the situation
is
completely different.
No. It talks about the idea of being patient. Okay, first of all, regardless of what Dabo was doing, you can't, if you're going to give someone the job, if you're going to give someone the full-time job, you can't give them 2 years or 3 years to judge them. It's college football.
Okay.
Recruiting cycles come in. Okay? That's impossible to go, okay, after 2 years, you know, if you do that, all you're doing is spinning your wheels and taking steps back. You fire them, now you're going to lose recruits that coach is trying to get right now, because now they'll go somewhere else, which happened to you when you fired Tommy Bowden. Now, sometimes you got to fire people and you got to take the licks that way. You can't have firing guys for 2 or 3 years. I mean, it's just stupid. Okay, you hire the guy as a full-time coach. Let him run the program. Let him see what he does. You can't give him 2 and 3 years to see what he's doing. I mean, it's crazy. And I'll remind Gamecock fans this. This is what cracks me up right now. Gamecock fans talk about the almighty Spurrier. Lord Spurrier, okay? Here's Steve Spurrier. Whoa, don't interrupt me.
Hold on. Okay? Are you really going to piss on Steve Spurrier?
I want to reach the Spurrier real quick.
Yep.
Okay, Spurrier's first year, okay? By the way, 7-5, lost the bowl game. Second year, 8-5, won the bowl game. Third year, 6-6, didn't make a bowl game. Next year, 7-6, got killed by Iowa in the bowl game. Following year, 7-6, got killed by UConn in the bowl game. That's Steve Spurrier's first, how many years is that? 4 years? I got one, two. That's his first 4 years. His first 4 years, he was 1-2 in bowls, missed a bowl game, okay? Right. Lost, got killed by UConn, got killed by Iowa, all right? And so these Gamecock fans who are mad at Muschamp, he took over a 3-9 program. What exactly were your goals for Muschamp after year three? You want to be a top 10?
You're asking me what my goals are?
I mean, like, okay, I can tell you.
Would you like me to tell you?
Yes.
Okay, here's what I would like out of Will Muschamp. Since he was a recruiting guru, and I've always said he was a recruiting guru, you can look that up, okay? But I would have expected him to have better recruiting classes than Steve Spurrier had, because he was a better recruiter than Steve Spurrier.
It's his third year, Rob.
How does recruiting work? Will you let me finish?
Rob.
I let you run your mouth. Hold on. I've got this.
Mike, real quick, Rob.
Yep.
Rob, when do you start recruiting athletes? What year are they in high school? You start recruiting them. When do you start making contact?
I don't know. He has recruiting ties everywhere, so stop with the bullshit. That's bullshit, Mike. Kirby Smart pulled a great recruiting class. What about that? Kirby Smart pulled a great recruiting class. What about him?
When do you start contacting kids?
Mike, Kirby Smart had the same thing. He had top 10 classes.
Kirby Smart's at Georgia.
Yeah.
Please don't compare the two. He's at Georgia, not at South Carolina. He's in Georgia. Okay? It's a little bit easier recruiting to Georgia than to South Carolina.
Oh, that's common sense. Don't tell Gamecock fans that.
What was Dabo's recruiting classes, Rob? What was Dabo's recruiting
classes? Dabo's recruiting classes went up every year.
Okay.
In his second recruiting class, he got C.J. Spiller, Taj Boyd. We can go on and on.
Okay.
But hold on. Not even giving you that.
Didn't Muschamp sign Jack Pickens?
No. Mike, once again, it comes back to... That doesn't count.
He's been a Gamecock fan.
Mike, you're looking at things from a weird perspective, okay?
Listen.
Will you let me finish? I told you I have something else. Mike, I have something else.
It makes no sense to
Mike,
judge it 3 years.
Will you let me finish?
And you look like a fool 8 years ago.
I don't look like a fool.
Because not that
no.
– listen, Dabo might have been awful, but you don't make the determination after 2 years. okay? Dabo might have been crap 4 more years. Then he make a change. You don't make a change for 2 years. What's the point of that? You're basically going backwards. All you're doing
because,
now is no stability.
Mike,
you're
you
losing
me,
recruits. It's stupid.
Will you let me,
if you're going to give him the full-time job,
you
then
let
you have
me
to
finish.
Stick with it for a while and see if it works out.
Okay.
Okay,
can I give you something else,
as an
please?
Example, the Gamecocks shouldn't fire Spurrier.
Holy fucking shit.
Okay? And those 4 years, okay, were awful by everyone's standards, okay? But they didn't fire him because they wanted consistency. And what happened? His 5th year, made a little breakthrough. His 6th year, huge breakthrough.
Okay.
7th and 8th year
and
were big.
That's fine.
And by the way, I see a lot of similarities.
No, you don't.
To this loss... I don't. You get to what I see? To this loss and the UConn loss, okay? Both losses, we played horrible, we played uninspired, and we needed more leaders in the team. And who came the next year? What recruit did we get? Marcus Lattimore, who not only was a great player, but a great personality, a great leader. Who we get next year? Zach Pickens. And you can talk to your friend Chris Driver that Zach Pickens is a 5-star talent, but more than that, he's like one of those kids, those natural leaders, those guys who changed
Mike,
the whole program.
You could have coached at South Carolina and he was going to go there. You could have coached at South Carolina and he was going to go there. But let me ask you this, because I know that you've got you've got the Muschamp dimple on your chin there. But let me ask you this. What about
– Dabble fired. Okay.
Mike. Once again, I can admit when I'm wrong. The point to this entire exercise
is
that you cannot admit when you are wrong.
You should learn a lesson from being wrong, that you don't make judgments this soon on a coach.
Okay, well,
and what they're doing with
the
program.
Dabo Sweeney didn't make this mistake. I know that. Dabo Sweeney didn't hang his kids out to dry, quote, from Muschamp, out of his own mouth. Okay? When asked about Rashad Fenton yesterday, it was Rashad's decision, Muschamp said in his post-game press conference after the 28-0 loss to Virginia. Muschamp was very clear in his statement and probed further about Fenton's choice later in the press conference. He called for next question, standing by his initial words that it was the player's call. Now, what that says is two things. One, the seniors on that team do not respect him, period. Which leaks down to a lot of other guys, like
and the
Brian,
seniors
will you
in
let
team,
me finish?
He didn't recruit.
Mike, let me
the
finish.
The seniors aren't
let
his
Let me
guys.
Finish.
Guess what the seniors are doing?
Oh, my God.
The seniors
God.
Are leaving.
Here we go.
The seniors
Mike.
Are leaving. One more reason why I don't judge a coach. He's getting that culture out of there. That's the whole point, Rob. You just said it. The seniors were not recruited by him.
You didn't let me finish my sentence.
And they're leaving.
Brian Edwards
okay,
is one of
go
his
on,
kids.
Rob.
Brian Edwards is one of his kids, and he was point blank asked about, are you going to the NFL draft? And he said, I was told to come back to school. And then he goes, but I haven't made up my mind on whether or not I'm coming back to school. Now, good coaches and coaches that are loved by their players, like Dabo Sweeney, guys come back. Uh-huh. Brian Edwards, he is up in the air because he hates his coach. He hates being a Gamecock, and he doesn't want to be there.
Okay.
He doesn't want to be there.
That's what
Mike,
it is.
If he really wanted to be there, and they told him, don't come to the NFL.
Are you saying that
don't
Brian
come
Edwards
to the NFL.
Back.
He was told, don't come to the NFL, go back to school.
Okay.
And he can't go on record and say, I'm going back to school.
Okay.
He can't do it.
I know a guy by the name of Nuke Hopkins, who whenever his team's on national TV, when they say what college you're from, he goes, Daniel High School. And why is that?
And
he hates Dabo.
And half
and
the guys.
He hates Dabo.
No, he doesn't
hate
Dabo Sweeney. Stop it.
He doesn't hate Dabo Sweeney?
He doesn't hate Dabo Sweeney.
I'll post 15 articles about how he's mad at Dabo.
He doesn't hate Dabo Sweeney. So stop.
Oh, he doesn't.
Post whatever
you
want.
Do you think him and Dabo are close?
Look, several guys. I'm watching the Sunday night football game. And guys do that.
Does Duke love Dabo?
I don't know if he loves him or not, but he doesn't have anything negative to say.
You know Brian Edwards hates Muschamp, right? You know
you can make Mike,
but even though Duke refuses to acknowledge
Mike,
he went to Clemson,
you can make the
TV,
assumption.
You're not
do
sure
we really do we really need to get into athletes that don't like the university? Why don't you ask Sterling Sharp about that?
You wanted to get into it.
You brought it up.
This is
why don't you
topic.
Talk about
you
why don't you talk
up.
About Sterling
you
Sharp?
You said that all the players love Dabo, correct?
I
you
said the majority
that, right?
of the players love Dabo.
What's that?
Majority of the players love Dabo.
That's not what you said. You said, like Dabo, they all love him.
Yeah.
Most kids love Dabo Sweeney. Does Nuke love Dabo?
Huh? I don't know of his relationship with him. I don't know of his relationship with him.
Okay, you don't know. You're not sure of that one.
No, I don't know. So I don't
Nuke
know that.
Calls out Dabo. He won't.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do, to appease you. You can say that Nuke Hopkins hates Dabo Sweeney, and I'll give you Christian Wilkins and the entire defensive line that came back. The kind
and
of
I
can, they can give
I
you the
can
finger
give you
like
all
that.
All kinds of guys who love Muschamp. I can give you the guys from Florida he recruited that gave him hugs after the Florida game 2 years ago. I can give him all kinds of stuff.
They don't like him.
So, I mean, once again, you start a topic, you realize, put your foot in your mouth.
I never put my foot in my mouth.
I said most of them
Right, then fine. Explain why Brian Edwards, point blank, couldn't commit to coming back, even though he was told by the NFL.
He's making his mind up. He's not sure yet.
That's stupid.
So no one from Clemson left early? No one from Clemson left early.
When you're asked if you're going and you don't go, why would he say that? And his expression.
He's
did
not
you
sure
see his
yet.
Expression?
He's not
oh,
sure
shit,
yet.
Mike, that's stupid.
He's trying to decide.
Okay, well, what about, all right, since
so,
you won't,
so
you won't give me that.
So the Clemson players who left early hated Dabo, correct?
No, the Clemson players that left early were getting drafted and were told to go. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they hated Dabo.
That sucks, right? That sucks, right?
But all the players love Dabo, except for Nuke Hopkins. Except for him. You're not sure about him. You're not sure. He's called out Dabo several times. Won't acknowledge went to Clemson.
Okay,
you're not
that's
sure.
Fine. But there are Brian several Edwards, guys that have acknowledged sure anything about going to Clemson. So
I love your theories here. So Brian Edwards sure hates Muschamp.
Are you going to address how he hung Rashad Fenton out to dry? Are you going to address that or not?
It appears Fenton didn't want to play.
Oh, it appears
Fenton's
that.
Senior, right?
Hmm.
I have.
Oh, okay. Somebody's lying here. So let's dig into that because I figured that's what you were going to say. So Muschamp said he didn't want to play, but Bryson Allen Williams, your senior, said he pulled a groin. So who's lying?
Well, shut the hell up, right?
Somebody's lying.
By the way, the seniors
are gone.
They are leaving.
So, okay. So these seniors suck.
We're not talking
about
people who lie.
Got it.
We want to get into
the
liars.
Seniors suck. No. We can get into liars all you want.
Rob, is O3
documented
found
liar
everything?
By the Washington Post. We can go with
is
that O3 if you want.
Is O3 found in everything?
Mike. Look, are you a pharmacist?
Found literally everything.
Are you a pharmacist?
Literally, Osterine is found
are
in everything.
You
it's
a
the exact
pharmacist?
Quote of your coach.
Are you a
your
pharmacist?
The exact quote from your coach is Osterine is literally, not figuratively, literally found in everything. Was that quote?
Okay.
And now back on that too. Are you still gonna hit the drums for that coach that's being fired?
Mike, I told you that. If they make the determination that they got the stuff from the coaching staff, that's what I said. The strength and conditioning coaches need to be fired.
Do you think we'll ever find out how they got it?
I don't know. What do I look like? A fucking Dick Tracy? I don't know.
I mean, don't language. You're getting mad.
This is how I normally talk. Man, I'm a sailor, brother.
I'm just wondering, like, how hard is to figure out how these guys got it? I mean, unless you're trying to hide something. I mean, does it look good for Davido said it's literally well, found look, everything?
Here is what I know, okay? Coach Eric Wilson, who coached on the Gamecock football staff and was an assistant there and has coached with some of the guys that are up at Clemson and coaches that are up at South Carolina as well, he said that for them to get it, they had to get it on their own, and he doesn't believe that any of the coaches up there would have anything to do with that. Now, I take his opinion to heart because of a couple of reasons. One, he's coached with all of them. One, he is a Gamecock guy. He has no reason to lie about it. He's been in the trenches. So
I agree with that. Okay.
You're not going to piss on my source on a guy who's coached football for 30 years, are you?
But so if that's the case, that's
Mike,
like
Dabo
too.
Was probably told that Dabo's degree is not in
Dabo was told
pharmacy.
That it so someone told Dabo that Osterine is literally found in everything.
I'm sure that's what they told him. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Who told him that?
I don't know, Mike.
Because obviously it's full of obviously it's BS, right? You realize that, right?
Yeah, Mike. I've done the whole thing. Look. I'll come clean on the Osterine thing. If you read the stuff from the USADA, which you can find in the podcast I did for my Fox Sports Radio show, the only way to get Osterine is on the black market. That's it.
Why would Dabo say that then?
Because he was probably told that, Mike. I don't know.
So he was told that. So who would tell him that?
Mike, there are thousands of people that work for Clemson up there.
That works for Clemson told him an outright lie, and Dabo repeated it like a freaking monkey. Instead of saying, you know what? Obviously, these young men made a poor choice and tried to break the rules and do something illegal. Okay, instead, Dabo goes, these things are falling, litter everything. I love my guys. Man, they wouldn't do that. I'm going to invite them on the trip and have them on the sideline with me because I love my guys. They're captains. I mean, I love them. They didn't do anything wrong.
You do realize
they went to the black market. They did something knowingly that they were doing something wrong. Your coach sits there and repeats, according to you, something was told to him. It's literally found and everything. I mean, you can have a Mountain Dew, and there it is. Okay?
Came from a Mountain Dew, so stop lying.
He looks like an ass. So don't bring the whole lying thing and the truthful thing.
Once again, you're spinning this from your coach.
He's a used car salesman.
Really?
He's full of crap.
Really?
And so is your program. Let's just break it down like that.
That's completely not true because
all the way through. You just said that someone told Dabo that. Someone worked for Clemson told Dabo that. So
I'm assuming that, Mike. I don't know. I wasn't up there for conversations.
So we're assuming that your program is full of crap then because someone
My program is playing for a championship.
It's found everything because that dumbass won't know the difference. We'll just tell him that. And he'll say that.
Your hate for Dabo is so good. You know what? I would hate Muschamp too if he was handing me my ass and everything, which is what Dabo does to
me. I'm just saying though. I just love the coach.
How does it feel to support a coach who can't get within
everything?
You know, three touchdowns of a rival that you say plays in a mediocre conference. How does that feel? Tell us about that.
I wouldn't want to get
this.
I wouldn't want to talk about it either because it looks bad. And of course, now you're backing off of the whole coach should be fired thing.
No.
Now you're saying that someone told Dabo this lie. That someone in the program told Dabo on purpose this lie. I mean, that's even worse.
Mike, but I don't know.
Great.
Mike,
I like this.
I don't. Once
I like
again,
this.
You're spinning.
I'm curious
things.
How this will finish out. Will Clemson come clean with what happened? Or they keep on saying, well, I don't know. I mean, it could be in the Mountain Dew. It could be in the Epsom salts. I mean, I think
Mike.
Okay, so it's funny that the lengths your program goes to lie in the cover crap up. It's really sad. So don't use the whole lying thing ever again. You no longer can use the lying thing from the Washington Post article ever again. I've got Dabo in quotes.
It's literally found in everything.
And according to you, he was told this lie by a person who worked for
Clemson. Spokesman. I don't know where he was told it from.
You're
spinning things, Mike.
So never again And you talk about
look at
honesty.
Him go. He's mad.
The honesty mad. Card, you cannot play anymore. You can't
can,
play the honesty card
I can
card
play
anymore.
The honesty card all I want.
You can't. No, you can't.
I can do
you
whatever I want.
That Osterine is only found in everything.
Mike, you're not listening once
That's
again.
That's not true. You submitted it's not
will,
true.
Will you slow
read
down?
The USDA thing. Apparently, Dabble can't read it. It doesn't shock me. Okay, he didn't know what lament and laminate mean. Okay, apparently, Dabble can't read it. You are bright enough to read the report and know it's a drug you can get off the black market only. You got to go out of your way to do it. Okay, and despite that, Dabble still has the quote. Literally can be found everything, and has those guys on the sidelines like they're martyrs. Like it's just unfair. The system doesn't work for them. It's unfair.
Hey, Mike,
these poor
Mike.
Guys were just doing the right thing,
Mike.
Taking a shower. And
you realize that this season. Hold on, let me give you some more numbers here.
You cannot use the honesty card ever again.
I will use the honesty card all I want. I'm going to tell you why. Because. Dexter Lawrence may be playing in the national championship game. His appeal may come through.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
According to the B sample, was a comeback okay too, right?
Mike, we have to wait until everything comes out. I know that's hard for you. This isn't Russia, sir. This isn't Russia. It's not Russia. Calm down. Breathe. Your head's getting red. You're getting angry. Okay?
I don't know. You don't want to say the F word on here. You're getting mad. I don't swear in the podcast.
I'm a sailor, brother. I say the F word all the time.
You know, you get mad. You start swearing. It's a family podcast.
If you're up this late at night, it's not a family podcast. I can say whatever the hell I want. My name is listed first. I can say whatever I want.
The actual podcast runs 24 hours a day. That is, it can be heard at 8 in the morning. It can be heard by kids.
Okay, well, if you're listening to it, then that's the same thing.
I love the Clemson fans, though. Whenever you talk about Osterine and the rooms are here,
look,
please move on. Please move on. We want nothing negative about our Clemson team. Please.
No, man.
Please. Things. We only
I don't,
want to hear
I don't know how he got it into his system. You had to get it from the black market, though.
Only good things about our program. Please, move on.
Do you want to talk? Oh, my God.
Move
do you
on.
Want to talk
on.
About South Carolina's performance against Virginia or not?
Your brand new fan base is getting really upset with the drug talk. Let's talk about the football game. That way they can feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only here to hear the glowing stuff about Clemson. I don't want to hear that stuff about the drugs and Dabble making up stories.
Yeah,
let's hear the good thing. Probably killed a Notre Dame team that barely beat Vanderbilt. Let's bring that up.
Or we could talk about the South Carolina team that beat only one FBS team that had a winning record. You want to do that?
I thought we were done with the Gamecocks. We're still talking the Gamecocks?
Do you want to talk about the game or not?
They were horrible. They were horrible. And I'll say this. We started 6 true freshmen, okay? You know, one of the things, I want to go back, I want to find the audio in this, though. One of the things I said back in August or July or whatever, we're doing those summer shows, we're trying to, like, count down the football season. I said that the one issue this Gamecock team was going to have is the depth. We don't have enough depth because that's just what happens. And I said, you know, and so you can't wish for no injuries. You know injuries going to happen. And so hopefully they won't get injured at key spots and they'll be okay. Offensive line-wise, they were healthy all year long, which was a big help. Okay, obviously defense it was. Okay, tons of injuries, and they're just not good enough to have that many injuries. I mean, they're just not going to be good enough. So they played a tougher schedule this year than last year. I think our schedule now is in the 16th ranked in the country. I haven't looked up today. If they posted Virginia or not. So 16th in the country. It was like 45th last year or 48th last year. So, I mean, I think this year's team beats last year's team. You know, it was a bad end of the season. It's like the UConn game. Yesterday's game reminded me of the UConn game. The same kind of – and I was pissed at the UConn game. I remember being really pissed. That whole team I didn't like. Only difference about the 08 team the 09 team, I'm sorry, was I hated that team all year long. I liked the way they played. They played dumb all year. They played a lot of games with no effort. And so the UConn game was kind of the cherry on top, and I was pretty demoralized after this. Only difference in this game was I don't feel that same way about this team. I think this team plays hard. And, of course, this game right here was kind of the opposite of how they played all year in terms of just effort. They had no effort in this game at all. But same kind of result in that way. So the only thing I tell the Gamecock fans is that UConn game that led to 2010 with Lattimore, and Lattimore changed the whole culture of the team. And I think Zach Pickens is that same kind of guy, five-star talent-wise, but also a five-star guy in terms of being a teammate. He'll start from day one, just like Lattimore started from day one. And so I think that's kind of the step we'll see. And schedule is brutal next year. Bama comes here. We got Georgia. Schedule always is. I like the kind of the omen of the UConn game, the Virginia game, the fact that we had Lattimore coming in and now Pickens coming in. I think it has a good little history. Hopefully it will continue. We'll have a little run here we did back in 11, 12, and 13 afterwards.
Yeah.
Lattimore ain't playing anymore. I know that Todd Price. Todd Price, brilliant.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Lattimore, hold on. Todd, how's your health real quick? You okay? Health okay for it? Lattimore, yeah, I know Lattimore ain't playing anymore, jackass. My point was that Lattimore changed the culture of the program for Spurrier, because Spurrier
was
running in the mud for a while.
Final stats from the game. This is the mighty Gamecocks that the comrades said had, you know, all this stuff, so much better than Virginia. You know, Virginia couldn't win the Coastal, which is a division that we both mocked all year. And the Gamecocks put up 261 yards.
My question is, how did that offense we saw yesterday put up 600 yards in that Clemson defense? How'd that happen?
Well, we've already discussed that. It was a fluke performance.
Oh, okay. So I could call yesterday a fluke then? The answer was a fluke?
You could if that hadn't happened to you already this season. But it already has. This year? Yeah.
We got shut out again. We got shut out this year?
You got beaten down seriously this season. You had blowout losses all over the season. What are you talking about?
By who?
Georgia blew you out. Clemson blew you out.
Georgia's a top three team in the country.
Well, you've let me finish. You've gotten blown out.
By good teams.
Teams. Clemson blew you out. Let's see here. I have to look at the rest of your schedule. I don't know. I have to look at the rest of your schedule.
That's it, yeah. So Georgia and Clemson blew us out. It's a fluke that a crappy team like Virginia blew us out. Thank you.
No. You cannot call Virginia crappy because they hammered you.
Fluke.
No, Mike, it was a fluke performance.
Well, you can't call
There's
our
a
offense
big difference.
Crappy since our offense
Your offense is shit, Mike. It's shit.
Well, you can't say that. Could we destroyed you?
No, you didn't. You cannot call it a fluke performance when you've had performances this year where your offense didn't do very well and had less than 300 yards. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah.
Do you want to get into that? You don't want to do that, do you?
What games under 300?
We can look here if you want. Let's see here. I have to get the exact numbers, but let's look at this one. Against, make sure I've got the exact numbers here, because I don't want to send out any crap here. Let's see here. Against Texas A&M, under 300 total yards of offense. Do you want to talk about that? How about against Kentucky?
The team that Clemson was lost to?
Did Clemson win the game or not?
Shut your dick, sucker.
Clemson won. Clemson won.
Okay.
Clemson won. There's this thing like it doesn't matter on the end of it. It matters like.
I'm saying the team that struggled. Okay, I got it. Okay.
Yep. Well, but you didn't put up 300 yards of offense against them. Your thoughts on that? How about Kentucky, the team that you think that you're so superior to?
Well, Kentucky's a great team, according to you. They're in a New Year's
But in your mind, they're not a great team, are they? Are they a good team or not?
Well, clean. You said they are. So you can't say they're bad now.
I can say whatever I want. My team's playing for the national title. You are 7-6. Let's see here. Against the mighty Kentucky Wildcats, that football power, which is your line, not mine. Let's make sure that we're on the same page with that. Total yards against Kentucky, right at 300 yards.
Okay, so that wasn't under 300. You said under 300, so that doesn't count either.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't have a great offense, Mike. You don't have a great offense.
A&M.
I don't have the. I'm not going to pull up every stat known to man.
We agree that yesterday's game was a fluke. Thank you.
No, we don't agree yesterday's game was a fluke. Because South Carolina has games like that every single year.
The A&M game, A&M is a really talented team. Almost beat you guys. Should have beat you guys.
No, they didn't.
So A&M is a top-tier football program.
They're not a top-tier football program. They're not a top-tier football program. They're not.
So A&M and Virginia. So it was a fluke. Thank you for proving that. Thank you.
No, it was not a fluke. It was not a fluke.
You have a, you know, it's great to have that. Thank you for proving that.
No,
thank you for looking up in the research.
That's not what I said. You asked if I thought it was a fluke, and it's not.
Call me Comrade Wright.
No.
Just call me Sir Wright.
No, you're not Comrade Wright on anything. Sorry. Sucks to be you on that. How about we look at something else here? How about Tennessee? Is that a great team or not? Because you got 224 yards against them. That's why it's a fluke, Mike. Fluke.
According to
224 yards.
Tennessee.
By the way, write this down now. It's not even 2019 yet. Tennessee is a guaranteed loss for you next year.
Okay.
Guaranteed loss. Write that down right now.
I think Tennessee is kind of like Miami.
Tennessee is a guaranteed loss.
I don't think Tennessee and Miami are getting back to where they were.
By the way, do you want to trade your horrible suck-ass coach for Mark Richt? Because he can actually coach. 9.5 wins a season.
I think you're seeing what Kirby Smart's doing in Georgia. That Mark Richt is overrated. I think that
he won 9.5 games a year.
I think that you could probably
take 9.5 games a year.
I think Carlos Holder could coach Georgia and they win 8 games a year.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I think, and listen, I don't dislike Mark Richt. He actually has technically family.
Yeah.
Long story that through my marriage, he's a distant cousin. Never met the guy before, but the fact is that I think Kirby Smart's proven that Georgia went to another level and Kirby Smart got there. And I think that Mark Richt underachieved. I think the fact that Georgia was kind of, they were never quite where they should have been under him. I think you're seeing that. Yeah, I think Georgia's a pretty easy job.
I think you should try to get him. I think he would be helpful.
I think he's done.
He's better than your coach.
I think Miami, you want to think about Miami is a tough job because – it's a tough job because you have people, alumni, like the football player alumni, like Michael Irvin's and the Warren Sapps. They all have this expectation that whoever takes that job, you better get Miami back to where it was. And the fact is, Miami is at a big disadvantage. They're in a great recruiting area, okay, but they don't have an on-campus stadium. They have a very small fan base. And a really bad atmosphere. They don't have a lot of money for facilities.
Yeah.
And so while they're in a great spot, have a great history, it makes the job almost impossible. And I'm going to give credit to Dave Sanders. Dave Sanders would go back a long way. Dave Sanders said in his Facebook post today that he thinks Lane Kiffin to Miami. And I think that's a perfect hire. I think Miami needs Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin needs Miami. I think he's the kind of guy that might have a shot to bring Miami back to somewhat credibility, just the way he kind of runs his mouth, kind of has that, I think that might be a good fit right there. But I think Miami's a tough job. I don't think they're coming back to the way. I think it's unrealistic how things have changed now, where all the programs have all this money and facilities and football ops departments and all this stuff here. I just don't think Miami can compete with.
Miami thing just to goof on you for a minute. Let's look at our updated leaderboard on the Callaway's Bowl Pick'em Challenge. Mike, who's in first place?
Chris Driver is.
No.
And Jimmy Phillips.
Rob Sanders is in first place, along with Chris Driver and Jamie
Phillips.
You've
been on fire.
Yeah, I don't think I've missed
it. It's funny how this thing works. It's funny how this works because, we make all our picks like at one time. So you pick all 40 games like one day and then that's it. And so like Rob started off really bad. We go, oh, you were cold, and now he's hot. Well, it's not that, you know, it's how the games are played. But Rob, you started off really bad, and you got like on the fire, and so forth. So well, it's a three-way tie.
Three-way tie at the top, and then there's 12 games left. If we look at the rest of the leaders or the people that are behind us.
Yeah. There's 11 games left and the national title game.
Well, yeah, 12 games. But
I mean, it's like some people can't get that game right. So if you pick like Notre Dame to win it all or pick Oklahoma to win it all, then you can't get that game right.
Cause did anybody pick Notre Dame to win it all?
I don't think so.
Did anybody pick Oklahoma to win it all? But looking down the board here, I'm tied for the lead with Jamie, Chris, and Chris Driver. Jeff Pritchett's at 16, Ruben's at 16, Tyrone's at 16, along with Brian Peake and Gary Mills. Mark McCurry, our intern out in Texas, is also in at 16. Why did Hacks McFarland not get in on this?
I don't know. Richard Head got in. Yeah, by the way, no one picked Oklahoma. Everyone picked either Clemson or Alabama to win it all. And it's pretty split, too. It's pretty – I'm trying to think if I can count it up real quick.
Can you – let me read the rest of this. Can you look and see how many people picked Virginia? Just for fun. Jeremy McClure's at 15, along with Ken Bellinger, Lewis Boland, Jason Sims, Donnie Jennings, Lisa Harkins, Kip Berry, Billy Muse, Chris Smith is at 14. Gary Gorsey's at 14 with Mike Muse, Eddie Hicks, J-Rock. Dennis Wilson is at 13, along with Ben Simmons. Cale Hall's at 13, along with Thomas Dana Young. And the Comrades at 13. Richard Head's at 12. And Tabitha Sims at 12, Jeremy Spires at 11, and Joe Anders is at 9. Joe Anders is not winning, by the way.
15 people picked Virginia. I think 17 picked the Gamecocks. So it's pretty split down the middle. What's that?
15 picked Virginia? Is that what you said? Holy crap. Left. That's a lot of people picking Virginia.
Real quick, let me count that. Go ahead, keep on talking. I'm gonna go.
Anyway, so that's the big thing there. I think I checked it out earlier. The Comrade and I have essentially the same picks, so the Comrade will not beat me. Hate sucks to be you, Comrade. You can't make up four picks in 11.
17 people pick Bama to win. Okay. I'm sorry. 17 people. We got 30 people in the contest. 17 pick Clemson to win it all, which is kind of, I guess that makes sense. We got a lot of Clemson fans in the contest, so. So 17 people picked it. Well, yes, I can't win. I will say this, though. This is very important now. We've done a lot of contests. We do bowl challenge, regular season contest, and March Madness, okay? And I am the only person to have multiple wins in these contests, the only person. And Chris Driver's won. I think Chris Driver won the March Madness 2 years ago. And you won the college football contest last season. That's the past season, the season before. So both of you are looking to join the Hall of Fame of multiple championships. Well, right now, only I reside in the Hall of Fame. And so I'm hoping either Jeff Pritchett wins or who else is up there? We got Jeff up there. Actually, I'm pulling for Jamie Phillips. Jamie Phillips is who I'm rooting for right now. Go, Jamie. I do not want Ruben to win. Is that our Ruben? What Ruben is that?
No, that's another Ruben.
Okay. Okay, for that. Tyrone Quarles is praying like a madman right now to win. I'm actually pulling for Gary Mills. Gary Mills and Phillips, I hope they win. If Mark McCurry wins, he will tag me every single day for the next 365 days, tell me he won the contest.
Shout out to our patrons of the show, because I forgot to do that earlier. Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, making his way back from Dallas. Thomas Dana Young, Kaylee Wanling, Keith Harrelson, Kevin Willis, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, Robert Knight, Positive Mike, Lisa Sister-Harkins, and Jeff Pritchett. Check those guys out, man. They really look after our show, so thanks so much to them. All right, Comrade, real quick, I want to get into the Clemson game for a moment. The Gamecocks season is over. I picked them perfectly, by the way. So next season, make sure you check out my picks. Clemson, by the way, they win huge over Notre Dame. I think the only person you did say, and I'm not trying to beat you in the face with this because you got your nose rubbed in the puppy pee a lot with your Virginia pick, but you did say that Notre Dame was a bad matchup for Clemson in the last podcast that we did. Obviously, that wasn't true. Clemson just came out and beat the brakes off of them. I called Notre Dame a bye week from the beginning. I am not in the camp that Georgia should have been there, but I do think that Ohio State should have had an opportunity to be there. I don't think that you should get a chance to go if you don't win your conference, but you know, I think Ohio State would have probably given Clemson a better game. But I do think that Clemson and Alabama are 1A and 1B, with Alabama being 1A and Clemson being 1B. Early line on that game has Clemson by 6 points, or a 6-point underdog. Do we have to submit that in the bowl competition?
No.
Against the spread? No, we just, you're straight just up,
picking,
right?
Yeah, you're just picking the winner.
Okay.
You're just picking the winner.
I was asking to make sure. But I think that's about right. And I think a turnover either way. I think that for Clemson to win the game against Alabama, they're going to have to basically pressure the hell out of Tua Tagovailoa. I think that's the only way that they can win. I do think that Trevor Lawrence has the ability to keep them in the game, because it's not going to be like last year where, you know, Kelly Bryant's going to take one look and then tuck and go. Lawrence will stand back there and throw the ball. I mean, we know that he'll do that. So it should be more of an interesting game. But I don't really know what to say about this Notre Dame game. I mean, it was just a complete blowout.
Well, I'm going to say a few things. Excuse me. I had a little throat issue. Let me give Clemson some credit here. This is not the Facebook rooms where I have to spin stuff. I don't think Notre Dame was a great team. But as I said before, I thought it was a bad matchup, because I felt that every time we played a team with a decent offensive line, that Clemson had a hard time stopping them. That being said, I thought the game would come down to like the last possession. I thought, you know, whatever ball bounces that way, you know, I thought...
Let me stop you for one second, because I did my research on the Notre Dame offensive line, and 4 out of 5 are projected first or second round picks.
Yeah,
so
and that's kind of where I was kind of going.
They are a pretty good offensive line.
I thought that they would be. I thought they would score on you. My question was, I wasn't sure if they could stop you. And so I kind of had a feeling of a kind of a 38-35 game, and, you know, coming down. I really thought it'd be kind of like the game you played against them, the flood game a couple of years ago, only without the rain. Okay, it would come down like a fourth down, like that stuff. So that's where I thought it was going. But I got to give you guys credit. You kicked their line's ass. It was 3-3 early on. You had 45 yards in your first 5 possessions, I believe it was. I think I read that somewhere. Or first 3 possessions. And so it was a close game early on, and then you kind of took over, and Notre Dame didn't have much for you. I will say this about Trevor Lawrence. You know, he's a freshman, and usually, I mean, he makes some bad throws sometimes, but every time he makes a bad throw, it usually is a bad throw where no one can catch the ball. It's not like a bad throw where he throws in the coverage and he throws dangerous passes. And so I'm not sure what his interception numbers are over the past few games, but he doesn't seem to make mistakes, which is weird, because usually freshmen will tend to throw the ball up in coverage, you get a guy in their face, and so forth. And so for the Bama game, that's the one thing I would think of. You think a freshman quarterback, maybe Bama's defense can kind of get to him. But the thing with Bama, they have a bad defense, but of all the Sabans, you take all the Sabans, national title teams or teams that played the national title or made the playoffs, okay? Whatever, how many teams that is. This is probably his worst defensive team. Not that they're a bad defensive team, because those teams are great. This is probably his worst defensive team of his great team. I'm not talking about the off-year team. Of his teams that played for a national title or been in the playoffs, I think this is his worst defensive team. But I think this is also his best offensive team. It's made those kind of cancel out. So Listen,
Trevor Lawrence.
I said before,
go ahead.
For the game, I think Georgia, Clemson, Bama are the three best teams, and there's a huge drop off for the fourth best team, which is why the whole argument about getting eight teams in the playoffs is kind of, you know, for this year, made no sense. Because I think there's a huge, I mean, there should have been four teams in the playoffs. I mean, Georgia should have been there with Clemson and Bama in terms of the best teams. So I think Clemson can win. You know, I'm not sure they will win. They definitely can win. I know a lot of Gamecock fans are under posting about Bama's going to kill them, and Bama might kill them, but I wouldn't sit there and put all my money on that. I think it'd be a good game. I think it's good for college football. I mean, it's not good for Gamecock fans, but in terms of if I were to take off my Gamecock glasses, people are arguing on Twitter that it's bad for college football. They're playing for the fourth time. You know, listen, I watched that old documentary, The Celtics and Lakers, and they played all the time in the finals. And you watch that documentary, and you go, man, I wish I could go back and have that happen again. So I don't think rivalries are bad. I think it's kind of cool how it's happened. You want to get more teams in there, obviously. But I think it will get great ratings because of the fact that the country knows these two teams, knows these two programs now for the past few years. So I think we'll get a big rating, you know. And I think that you got Saban against Dabo. I think Saban could retire, too. I think Saban could be out after this game's over. My personal opinion, I wouldn't shock me.
Couple of notes here. Trevor Lawrence on the season has four interceptions. Two since he became the full-time starter. He threw one to Georgia Southern, one to Georgia Tech, one against Louisville, and one against Boston College in garbage time. I don't know if the lights are ever going to be too bright for this guy. Lewis makes a great point online about Tua does better under pressure. I agree with you on that, but I think that if it comes down to either A, you're going to put pressure on him, or B, you're going to play in a zone with Clemson, I'd rather put pressure on him. Simply because...
But Clemson blitzes a lot, too. I'm not sure. I'm interested if they still do that in this game. But
I think Clemson can get to him. But the thing with him, though, is that they did it last night against Oklahoma, man. They'll run a simple like running play with either one of their running backs, and then he'll take literally a two or three step drop and then throw a quick slant. And they'd work their way up the field 7-8 yards at a time. They are a machine. I'm already going to put this out there, and we'll have a couple of shows before then. I think that Alabama is going to win the game. And I know that I'm supposed to be the Clemson guy in this whole thing, but just from my perspective, I think Clemson's going to cover, but I think that Alabama will win the game. Now, you know, I'm not trying to get Clemson people pissed at me, but I just think that they are too good up front, and I think eventually it's going to wear Clemson down a little bit, and I think they're going to come after Trevor Lawrence, and it may come down to, in my opinion, it's going to come down to how well the linebackers cover for Clemson, because they run a ton of stuff where it's little slant routes, little pop things off to the side. And if they don't, like, the strength of Clemson's defense is on the perimeter, but it's soft a little bit as far as coverage in the middle. And I think that Trey Lamar, for Clemson to win, has to have the game of his life. And I'm talking like he has to play out of his gourd for Clemson to have a chance. Also, Clemson can't have any turnovers. If Clemson gets one turnover, I think that's pretty much it. Alabama can be scored on, but they're just so methodical. Just methodical. Last night, if you watched the Oklahoma game, they picked and popped their way down. But Oklahoma kind of got to them a little bit. But I think it'll be not like that, because I think Clemson's defense will hold them in check a little bit. But I'm thinking it's going to be like a 27-21 game, something like that. I don't think Clemson has enough to catch them. I really don't.
I think it's been a good game. I think it's going to come down to like that last possession, kind of, you know, like the games that came down, not last year's game, but the first three or the first two you played, the national title game. I think like one of those games come down to that last possession. And so we'll see. I mean, the defense against Notre Dame was unreal. I mean, you know, this is a whole different thing. I mean, the game I saw you play against the Gamecocks, I don't know if it's a fluke or what happened, but your defense looked wretched. And so,
well, I think there was a lot of sets that Clemson just didn't game plan for, and I don't know. I don't have a problem saying this. Debo Samuel's a hell of a player, and if Debo Samuel gets in space, he's pretty dangerous. And when they lined up with three offensive linemen down at the end of the field, and then Debo Samuel's over there by himself, and our linebackers and our secondary are looking over at Brent Venables, and he has no clue what the hell's going on, that's kind of what happened to us there. It just didn't look good there. But, you know, either way, Clemson had too much offense, and they won that game. But I honestly think Clemson will drop this game to Alabama. I think it'll be close, though. But I tell you what, if Clemson wins this game, you really, unless you are a dumbass like some of the Gamecock fans that follow this show page, you have to start using the E word with Clemson. Two national titles in 4 years is a pretty elite program. And by the way, last thing we're going to do tonight. And I didn't tell you this, Mike, but I know that you can spin on the fly. I read something where it was like a way too early top 25. Clemson is in the top five for next year. So I thought if you're up for it, we could break down the Gamecock schedule really quick and Clemson's as well. The Gamecock schedule next year, I think, is going to be it's going to be a lot tougher than the one they had this year, because they have to go to Tennessee and they also bring in Alabama. I think that, and when I look at that schedule, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm making Clemson fans angry when I say this, but if you really look at that schedule for next year, you're going to have some Gamecock fans that are going to be upset, because when I look at that schedule, from what I see, I don't see best case scenario is 7 wins. I mean, I just, from what I've got now, I'm giving you the North Carolina game, the Charleston Southern game. I think you lose to Alabama. Missouri will be interesting up there with Kelly Bryant. I don't know what you'll do with Kentucky, but if I give you that win, you're not going to beat Georgia. Florida's going to be at home. They look strong as hell the other day. Tennessee on the road, I've already called that as a loss. Vanderbilt, you should win that game. I give you the Appalachian State game, which, by the way, kudos. I can be nice to Gamecocks for 1 minute here. Kudos to the Gamecocks for actually scheduling Appalachian State, because I think they are going to, at some point here, probably be the next Central Florida type team. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Gamecocks, but I'm saying they're going to be a pretty good team next year. So kudos to them for that. And then you wrap up your SEC schedule at Texas A&M. Then you get 2 weeks off to prepare for Clemson at home. When I look at that schedule, even if I'm being nice, 7 wins is a stretch, an absolute stretch. Agree or disagree, Mike?
Well, I mean, listen, it's kind of hard to go in this detail. I think the Tar Heels are a win. I'm not sold in Tennessee.
Well, and once again, let's make sure we put this out there. We'll make our actual legitimate picks come July. That's when we normally put our stuff out there. But as of right now, just looking at the schedule, it's from what I see.
Well,
that's what I see.
It's ranked right now as the second toughest schedule in the country, based on if you project it out there, which is obviously we wait till the end of the year. But it's tough. But, you know, a lot of things can change. We'll see. We'll have more depth next year. I mean, it's not hard to have more depth.
Yeah,
this year.
But you're gonna lose some depth too. So
yeah, but listen, I wouldn't count the Gamecocks out. I think we can get 7 wins pretty easily. To be honest with you. I mean, I look right now. You got Charleston Southern, UNC. That's two. Kentucky's losing everybody. I'm not gonna sit there and proclaim that, but I mean that's home. Missouri's a toss.
I'm giving you Kentucky,
Tennessee,
but it's
Vanderbilt,
tough to play
Appalachian State. I mean,
you're playing at Tennessee. I think you lose that game, but I'm just being honest. It's just what I see. If you look at Clemson's schedule for next year, they've got is this right? August the 29th, they open with Georgia Tech. Wow.
Yeah, that's on Thursday. Thursday night game.
Is it? Okay, yeah. And then they got then the next Saturday they play Texas A&M. And then they've got two cupcakes with Charlotte and Wofford.
A&M's at home, right? You're playing A&M at Clemson.
Yeah, A&M
right?
is at Clemson. But,
it's not neutral, okay. Never,
yeah,
okay.
But then, like, they don't have all the games here, but here are the teams that they'll play. They go to the ghetto to play the Gamecocks on the last game of the season. Boston College is at home. Florida State's at home. Wake Forest is at home. They go to Louisville, who's rebuilding. NC State loses everybody. To the Carrier Dome again. Thank God Eric Dungy's gone. My God. NC State, they're losing everybody. And at North Carolina. So
you do realize, though, real quick in the queues, Dungy's going, but the quarterback they have to replace him is, like, one of their better recruits. Like, he's supposed to be really good. I'm not saying he's good as Dungy, but I wouldn't sleep on the Cuse in the Dome. Let's sleep on the Cuse.
You're not going to have me badmouth the Cuse. By the way, the Cuse, they looked pretty solid the other night. They beat the holy hell out of somebody. I can't remember who it was, but...
Yeah, they didn't have Will Greer playing West Virginia. That's one thing, but it was a big year for Syracuse. There were 10 wins this year.
Yeah.
And so, Syracuse trying to get back to where they used to be when I was a kid, when they were always in big bowl games and, you know, playing, you know, were a staple in the top 20. So we'll see that they got something going good up there. And I'm glad Dino Babers is not being, I'm curious about Babers, too, if he would leave Syracuse, you know, if he views that as a place to stay long term.
I don't think so, because they were talking about this on the television the other night. Like, I sound like television. What's wrong with me? But no, I mean, he has like a laundry list of places that he's been, and I think Syracuse gave him a chance, and he may stay there. And by the way, I think Syracuse is going to be Clemson's new ACC rival, meaning that I think that Florida State's going to need some time to get right. I think that the two best division rivals right now are Boston College and Syracuse. Right now, for Clemson.
That's not saying a whole lot, but we'll see. I'm curious, but Syracuse,
Hold on. You're not going to disgrace the good damn name of Syracuse. Syracuse would kill your Gamecocks.
You can't really
give me any crap about that. You just lost to a team that finished fourth in the Coastal.
I'm just saying, though, like, you know, your division rivals are going to be Boston College and Syracuse. Who are our division rivals? Florida and Georgia. There's a difference there?
No, I don't think. Florida and Georgia aren't your rivals, by the way. They don't consider you a rival.
Okay, but those are the teams that we have to get by to win the East. So the teams you have to get by to win your division are Clemson and Boston College. Think about
that. That's a very weird point there.
That's what?
And I'll tell you why. Because Missouri has twice as many SEC titles as you do.
Let's stick to what we're talking about right now. Okay. In order to win the East, we got to get by Florida and Georgia.
Your rival.
You have to get by Boston College and Syracuse.
Your rival is.
That's pretty pathetic.
Is Missouri. Because that's about where you guys are.
I'm not talking about rival. I'm talking about the win to East. We're not talking about rivals. That's not what you said. You said that the teams have to get by to win your division.
The team that's going to be our best division rival. Team that is in our division that will be a rival. That's what I said.
And I'm talking to you about in order to win the East, which is the goal, is win your division first. so you can win the conference. We have to beat out Georgia and Florida. Two recruiting hotbed teams, two teams to get all the talent, and you're going to go after your two teams are Boston College and Syracuse. So when we bring up conferences and divisions, that's the thing that Gamecock fans talk about, is that the bar for you guys in terms of winning your division a little bit lower. What we have to do, just something to think about.
That's a load of crap.
It's not a load of crap.
It is a load of crap.
So you're trying to say that the East is easier to win than your division?
I never said that. I'm just saying that it's a load of crap. What you're saying is a load of crap. Everything you say is a load of crap.
Florida and Georgia are perennial powers. Florida's coming back now.
No. Florida didn't make a bowl game, not this season, but last season. So shut your hole.
Okay, but Florida is on the way back.
Florida is on the way back because they're having to shake the mustache.
You've already said Tennessee is the team that you think's on the way back.
Tennessee is going to hammer you, what I said.
Okay, I'm just saying though. But you said that back in August.
How many points are you giving me for Tennessee?
So the only thing I'm saying right now is that, you know,
I think Kentucky is your rival. That's what I think.
I'm just letting you know. It's a much tougher division.
When was the last time you beat Kentucky? Do you remember? When was the last time you beat Kentucky? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
What beat them this year, though?
You think, you're calling that now?
Or next year. I shouldn't say this year, next year.
Is that your stone cold prediction? You're calling that now?
Calling it now.
Well, you're losing to Tennessee, so you need to beat Kentucky if you want to finish fourth or better in the East. How disappointed are you with this season? Be honest.
Not really at all.
You're not disappointed with the season at all?
Not really, no.
Holy shit.
I mean, disappointed in what? If you'd have told me that here is the injuries you would have had. Go to sportsreference.com one time. Look at the Gamecocks page and look at our injuries listed. Now, if you tell me here's the injuries you're going to have most of the year, what will your record be? Okay. And you said, and someone told me you'd be 7-6 with this injuries, I would say that's unreal. Okay. So I'm disappointed with all the injuries, but you can't help that. That happens. I'm disappointed how we played yesterday. Yesterday, that no excuse for that. I don't care who was injured. Yesterday was horrible. I'm disappointed how the effort we played yesterday, for sure. In terms of the season, I think the schedule is much tougher than we thought it was going to be. I thought it would be a crap schedule this year. You thought it would be a crap schedule this year. It turned out not to be a crap schedule. It's like the top 20 schedule right now.
We won't know until the end of the season.
Well, as of right now, it's the top 20 schedule. I got to look. I can pull up a stat in a second. Based on that and injuries, to go 7-6, I wouldn't say this point at all. I like the fact of where we're going next year. I like we're getting Ryan Helinski, Zach Pickens in next year. I think those are guys who are going to help the programs tremendously.
Couple more Gamecock fan tweets before we wrap up the show this evening. Giving you the handles. At Jim Isel Jen says it's time to fire Muskrap. Let's see here.
Just like you said. By the way, the Gamecocks right now, their strength of schedule is ranked 12th in the country this year. So you'd have told me, those injuries, and for the 12th tough schedule in the country, I would take 7-6 based on this process in year three. So
let's see here. Most savage moment of being hashtag home for the holidays was talking about our loss to an average Virginia team. Thank you, K. Lee Graham. Appreciate you for that. Let's see what else. This is a great tweet right here. You don't want to hear any more Gamecock fan tweets, do you? Are you done with that?
Keep on.
Are you done?
All in mind of your great post about Dabble.
At Jim Peep WBB, just fire Will Muschamp now and spare him a 4-8 season in 2019. What do you expect when hiring an interdivisional's rival failed head coach? Find someone within and build. I'm told Clemson did something similar 10 years ago. How's that working? #  Gamecock football.
That's the guy who went fired, right? 2010?
At Jim Peep WBB. Your response.
The guy wanted fired. The guy wanted fired.
You don't want to take any more of these?
I'm just saying, that's the guy he wanted to fire.
I have no performance for that, for what happened.
They'll all be foolish, and I'll retweet them back.
Wells Pierce says, I have no words for the performance that the Gamecock football team had out there.
Hey, I was mad that night. I didn't really believe that. Yeah, you know.
This is a fair tweet.
Just like you saying about that. Well, you know, I was.
This is a fair tweet.
At the time, I thought that, but no.
This is a fair tweet. Embarrassing performance today by Gamecock football in all facets, from coaching to execution by players. One bad game doesn't define this team nor the program, but this is not acceptable. We have to learn, improve, and stay hungry and not lose to teams from the ACC Coastal. Thank you for that, Mr. Red Watson.
I agree with all that right there.
That's Mr. Red Watson. That's what he said.
Okay. I agree with that right there.
You're content with the season, so you're happy with 7-6.
Content. Well, see, here's the problem with that. You can say, you're going 7-6. In year three, playing a 12th toughest schedule in the country with injuries, 7-6 is not a bad year based on those things. Now, when we go forward now, we got to keep on improving in terms of getting better and getting deeper. We're bringing other recruits, getting Zach Pickens in, Helinski in. So momentum is going right there. But in terms of the 12th toughest schedule, with all the injuries we had, going 7-6, not awful. Yesterday's game was awful. We shouldn't have lost that game. So that right there.
But
that,
in terms you said of the same overall, thing about Kentucky. Should you have lost that game?
No, we shouldn't lose to Kentucky either. But I'll remind people again of Spurrier's records the first 4 years. Year three, missed the bowl game. Then you go to a bowl game year three.
Are you still on the 7-year plan?
In terms of what?
You said that Muschamp needs 7 years.
Well, how long does Spurrier get if we got in the top 10?
I'm just asking if you're on the 7-year plan.
How long did Dabo take for he was in the top 10?
Dabo was in the top 10. Dabo won the conference, I think.
Okay, we're not going to win the conference because you were barely ranked that year. You were barely ranked.
We still won the conference.
Unfortunately for Muschamp, he can't have a team that's barely ranked win the SEC. Now, in the ACC, you can do that.
That's not necessarily true. Slow down.
You think your only SEC East title, you went 8-6. When's the last team to win the SEC that was barely ranked?
I don't know. I don't have.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I don't suck the SEC wiener. I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying. So, unfortunately, we can't have
about,
a season.
How about just finish in the top 25? Do you expect that next year?
You know what? Yes. I do. I think if we go 8-4, I think if we go 8-4, or even 7-5, we go 8-5. So we go 7-5 and win the bowl game, go 8-5, with that schedule we played, we'll be ranked.
I don't know where you see 7 wins there, but
you just said a little while ago.
I said that's me being nice.
Okay.
Just because it's the holiday season.
I'm saying right now, if the Gamecocks go 8-5, win their bowl game next year, that schedule, you think we'll be ranked? Top 25?
If you go 8-5, let me look at your schedule.
Assuming that schedule is as tough as it looks now, assuming that, you know, all those teams are similar to what they were supposed to be.
No, I don't think you'll be ranked at 8-5.
What's the current rankings right now? You find the team that's 8-5.
I don't think there's very many five loss teams in the top 25. If you look at I go by the CFP rankings, by the way. Here you go. Let me see if I can pull this up here. And this is a very valid question because I'm pulling them up right now. The CFP rankings are what we go by because that's what it is. Let's see here.
Northwestern is ranked 22nd. They're 8-5.
But Northwestern played for the Big Ten championship.
Okay, but they had 5 losses.
I don't think you guys will finish with. If you finish 8-5, if you finish 8-5, you're going to have to beat North Carolina, Charleston Southern, that's 2, Missouri's 3, Kentucky's 4, Georgia's 5, Vandy would be 6. App State would be 7. I guess Tennessee would be 8. And then you're going to lose the bowl game?
The eighth win's a bowl win. The eighth win's a bowl win. So 7-5 the season, win the bowl game, go 8-5.
I don't think it depends on who the bowl is against, too.
We will go to the Gator Bowl next year. Mark it down. You're going to the Gator Bowl next year?
Shut up. I don't see that happening.
Mark it down. So 8-5, I think 8-5, we get ranked.
So,
first of all, what will be the college football rankings? Because the AP is the final poll that comes out. The college football rankings will do another poll. So your final ranking is the AP ranking at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Gamecocks
playing North Greenville tonight. You think they win in hoops?
Yes.
Okay. Clemson got a win over Lipscomb today. So there you go.
That's good. Lipscomb.
Oh, we forgot to mention that. We went to the Carolina Clemson basketball game. How'd that work out for you?
I thought the show was over.
How'd that work out for you? Yeah, you got your ass kicked again, didn't you?
Kotsar's coming back. He'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, Kotsar will be back tomorrow.
Mania's not close to being back yet, though, unfortunately.
Thornwell was out, right? Yeah, that was fun. We forgot to talk about that. We sent out Sheldon Mitchell.
It shows how much you care about your basketball team.
I love my basketball team.
I look forward to baseball season. Can baseball start pretty soon, please? You know, it's pretty cool, though. And I'm not trying to get off topic, though. Here's what I love about – I'm a huge baseball fan. What I love about living where I live and being an alum of Carolina, I'm a fan of Carolina, and it's the fact that baseball season – when I was growing up, seemed so far away on December 30th. Like when I was like 9 years old and was not a Gamecock yet, just a Red Sox fan, on December 30th, baseball seemed so far away. Since I became a Gamecock some 25 years ago and go to all these college baseball games, baseball season is really around the corner. It's really 6 weeks away. It's really 6 weeks. I mean, think with it.
It's Valentine's Day, right? That's kind of
It's 6 weeks away. That's nothing. That's 6 Saturdays. It'll be 7 Saturdays. Seven Fridays away. That's all it is. So it's like that's it really helps my appetite because I get baseball like just much more of my life. So looking forward to that and going to the Ray. Opening day. I missed opening day last year. I missed 2 opening days in 25 years. And I missed it last year because of a scheduling snafu with the family. And this year we'll rectify that. The other game I missed was because my son was being born. So,
I'm sure that Jane would have given you a furlough on that.
I technically went to the game. He was born on a Thursday. I mean, it was the next day, but I felt it would have been kind of a bad taste to go the next day. I thought about going, though. I was driving by the stadium to go back home to get a few things.
Shut up.
And I thought about just stopping in, catching a picture or two, but I did not. So, I'll be there opening day this year.
I was going to ask you really quick about the Gamecocks in baseball. The first poll that came out, no love for the Gamecocks. I think that poll's crap.
I don't understand. I mean, the Gamecocks have a lot of issues, but they have a lot of guys coming in. They got a lot of junior college guys and some arms coming in that could be good. They could be average. We'll see. I like our offense. I'm not sure what pitching we'll have. We'll see, though. The Gamecocks are ready to play. The polls and that, I don't really. Those college baseball, all preseason polls are pretty in all sports. But baseball is really kind of hardest sport. I found college baseball the hardest sport to do preseason predictions on. I think they're the most off because of all junior college kids you get. It's a different sport in terms of how you get your players, I think it is. I think basketball is the easiest to predict, college basketball, in terms of the preseason poll.
One player can change everything.
So you have football. But I think college baseball is kind of the most margin of error. So I'm not really worried about that.
Final note for tonight. According to the University of South Carolina website, attendance yesterday at the Belk Bowl was 48,263. The stadium capacity is 75,000. If this doesn't tell you,
sold their allotment. They sold all their allotment.
Let me finish, stupid. If this doesn't tell you that we don't need any more bowl games, I really can't help you. I really can't.
I kind of like how it was, you know. I remember as a kid, like, there weren't all these. There was, like, the Holiday Bowl. The Holiday Bowl, which is kind of a cool bowl to watch. And you had the Gator Bowl and the Peach Bowl. Then, like, the big bowls. The Cotton Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl, Fiesta Bowl. And, you know, the whole playoff system, the 16 teams, 8 teams. I heard someone the other day talk. I forgot what I heard him on now. Colin Show. I like the situation. He said, go back to the old bowl system. Go back to the old way. Play all the bowl games the way you would. Pac-10, Pac-12 champion, Big Ten champion, the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, SC champ versus, you know, the wild card team you have in there. Orange Bowl, same thing. And all the bowls are over. Then the committee goes ahead and picks the two best teams, and they play for national title game. That way you keep all the bowls the same way. And do all that. You have all the bowl games, and do it that way. And then you have the two best teams play afterwards. I'm not sure. I kind of like that idea in a way.
Oh, and before last thing, I'm serious about this. Before we get out of here, guess who's on Steve Spurrier's team in the new Alliance of American Football?
Who?
Elliott Fry.
Oh.
His team is chock full of Florida State guys, which I kind of like the way they're doing that with
it's kind of regional, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a regional thing. But if you just go ahead.
Isn't every team – I'm surprised Elliott Fry is on there. I thought the team – I thought the team in Birmingham was the Gamecock team. I thought like the teams that each team had like a collection of schools that they picked
from.
I
don't know. I know Elliott Fry, who I am working to get on my show for Fox Sports Radio, and I'll podcast it here too. But Elliott Fry, the former Gamecock kicker, is going to go play for Coach Spurrier again, and I'm looking up and down his roster. By the way, since we're talking about this for a second, there are a lot of Gamecock players that are playing in this American Alliance of Football. I see a lot of Clemson players too. I think the Atlanta Legends had a bunch of Gamecock players. I'm pulling up the roster right now. But some of them, I'm looking at them. Tavaris Barnes for Clemson. He's playing for the Atlanta Legends. And they had a bunch of Gamecock guys. Hold on. Let me scroll down here. I'm pretty sure this is a team that... Caron Johnson from Coastal plays there. Also, Vaughn LaRue. He's a tackle. I don't know who he is.
I think this league is going to be what the USFL should have been.
Yeah.
Except he had that one dumb. I won't bring up the name. He had one dumbass in there who ruined it all. I think if you avoid a dumbass who owns one of the teams, and they keep it a spring league and aren't owning the team because they want an NFL team in reality.
Do you want to know? Do you want to know what'll make this league go? And I'm dead serious. If you want this league to succeed, you have to make it where people can bet on it. If people can bet on it, it'll prosper.
Well, people can bet on it. I mean, you can bet.
Yeah,
on
but
it,
I mean, so. I don't know if Vegas is going to put lines on these games or not. Do you think
they'll
put
lines on these games. Oh, hell yeah, they put lines on WNBA games. For crying out loud, I bet my first ever legal bet was a WNBA game, and I won it. By the way, took the New York Liberty plus 17 against the Sparks. You don't get that many points. Rebecca Lobo back in the day. No way you give Lobo that many points. You just don't.
Rebecca Lobo.
Yeah, did I tell you a story? My first time I went to Vegas, we went during the baseball All-Star break.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, you did tell me about that.
There were no sports going on. It's actually the day I got married. Years later, I got married this day. The worst day in sports. The day where there's no baseball games. The only thing going on was WNBA games. We're in Vegas in the sports book. The only thing I've been was WNBA game. And I went to the window. And I said, the Liberty are getting 17 points. They go, you cannot get the Liberty 17 points. Put $50 in Liberty. And my dad was with me. He goes, I'm just curious. When you made that bet, Did someone come out of the booth to go, listen, we think of a gambling problem? And I went to the restaurant, and I said, do you have the Liberty and Sparks game on the TV somewhere?
And they laughed at you.
Put it on. And the Liberty, I think, lost the game by like four. Lost it by four. I covered it easily. Rebecca Lobo had a big night. And I won that game. The next day, baseball was back, and I bet I watched baseball games. My first ever legal bet, though, was...
Here are the Gamecock players there that are on the Birmingham team. The Birmingham team is the Birmingham Iron. That's pretty cool. Rory Anderson, former tight end. Let's see here. There were a couple others that were on here. Cody Gibson, big tackle for the Gamecocks. He's playing.
Real quick, maybe one more prediction. Yeah. The XFL is coming out, and the American, okay, I guarantee you, this, what was it called, the American Alliance of Football?
Yeah.
The American Alliance of Football will beat out the XFL. XFL won't last. It might not even start. The AAF, whatever, will beat out the XFL.
Wesley Saunders, the tight end. Dante Sawyer, he's also playing. And there was one other guy. Oh, and how this guy didn't make it, I don't know. Devin Taylor. Devin Taylor is a monster. I mean, he is a big some bitch. And he didn't make it in the NFL, but he's going to play in the new AAFL.
I'm kind of mad that Columbia didn't get a team. I really thought Columbia might get a team.
You think Columbia? Well, I thought that Columbia should have got an XFL team. I was going to name them the Columbia Comrades.
I'm kind of mad. I was kind of hoping Columbia get a team.
Atlanta Legends, Iron.
Huh? Columbia almost got the Charlotte Hornets team, their D-League team or G-League team.
Yeah.
They almost got them. You know, I'd have been pumped for that. I really wish they would have, like, a minor league for all the sports. Like, you know, I know football's not a minor league, I mean, but having be pretty cool that to have
well,
this. So hopefully they
you know,
I'm
you
hoping
know
these
Columbia
leagues do well.
Had like a was it? It was like an arena team. It was like an arena two team. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, that was years ago.
Yeah, you know who headed that up?
Who?
Corey Miller. Corey was supposed to be like the head coach, and then he decided, well, I can play. So then he decided, well, I'm going to go out there and play defensive end. And then it was, they were playing the games in the Colonial Center. This is not a joke. I'm not mocking. Then Corey decided, I'm going to be the quarterback. So Corey cut all the quarterbacks and made himself the starting quarterback. That team was doomed.
They had a team in Charleston. This sounds like Hilton, I believe. This is back probably...
I remember the Charleston Low Gators when they had the NBA, the TL team or whatever.
And one of the guys who was coaching the Charleston team was trying to talk me into playing. This is back when I was 25 and in shape. And I was like, I just don't want to get hit anymore. And I thought about it for a little while. I said, I don't feel like getting hit. I just don't want to get hit anymore. And
Todd's got a good question. Are these leagues going to compete against each other? I don't know. I'm trying to find out. Let me see here.
They're supposed to be both in the spring, but the XFL is still behind. I mean, the arena, the American affiliation of football starts this spring. I mean, it starts this year. When this season's over, it starts, correct?
Oh, yeah. They'll be doing their thing. So, like right. I think they're on the week after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I think the way they're going to do this, it's going to be real football. I think XFL is going to be too gimmicky. I think it's going to be real football with some – I think it's good.
Well, here's my thing with that. The AAFL, which is going to be hard for me to say, they have teams in Arizona, Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Orlando, Salt Lake, San Antonio, and San Diego. Those are like – and I'm not trying to be negative, but those are like what I call B cities. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're you know. But then the XFL, they're playing their games in Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Washington, D.C. Here's the interesting thing about the XFL. They're going to play their games in New York at MetLife Stadium. The games in St. Louis will be at the Dome there. Raymond James Stadium will hold the other games. They're thinking they're going to have some hellacious crowds. I don't think so.
See, I think I like the Alliance American Football. I like the idea that you put it in cities that you said are kind of like minor league cities because they don't have football. I mean, they're the football teams they like are the teams in the cities next to them. Like, for instance, if Columbia had a team, most people in Columbia like the Panthers, okay? Yeah. And so now you have your own team as opposed to if you're a New York Giant fan, are you really going to be like, oh, I also love the New York whatever team? You know, you're a Giant fan. Like, that's you, you know. I think the Alliance teams, you're going to have – a stronger fan base because that will be
here.
You know, it's like their hometown.
Here's my
team.
Thing with them too. They've got some pretty good football minds here. Mike Martz is going to coach San Diego. He's done a good bit. He won a Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator. Led the Rams to a Super Bowl. Steve Spurrier, we don't have to go into that. Brad Childress was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles under Andy Reid. I don't know who Mike Riley is. He was a coach
of
Oregon.
Coach of the Chargers. And Oregon.
Rick Neuheisel is coaching Phoenix. Dennis Erickson is coaching Salt Lake City. Mike Singletary is going to coach Memphis. That's pretty cool. And then Tim Lewis, I don't even know who this guy is.
He played in the NFL for a while.
Okay, well, but that's the only name there that, I mean, all those other guys are good football minds. Todd Price wants to know if those leagues would merge. No, because Vince McMahon's not going to have it. He's pissed off. He wants his own league, and he's not going to have it. If either his will go crazy or he's like 780 years old. He may just die off, and that'll be the end of it. But I don't think
my favorite team in the AFL, whatever you call it, in terms of logo and colors and name,
yeah,
is the Birmingham Iron.
Yeah,
that's my favorite team. I love the B. I love the black and gold, or the black, the silver and black Iron. I want to see who's coaching their team because I think that could be my AFL team.
I've got their. I just gave you all the coaches right here. Yeah.
Who's their coach?
Hold on, man. That's the Tim Lewis team. Tim Lewis is coaching that team. I'm gonna go with Mike Singletary at Memphis, just because Mike Singletary is an ass.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Do you have anything else for this week's show?
That's it.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening. This show is a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.